Reading this evening is Bethan. 1 Samuel, 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 21. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Don't know if you heard the bad news this afternoon about another church shooting this morning in our country. This at a Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee. Do you know anything about that congregation?
It's not Tennessee.
Not Tennessee?
It's not Tennessee.
Okay, what state was it?
I'm not sure, but I was trying to check it again. The picture they showed is not the Antioch, Tennessee church.
Okay. It was called Burnett Chapel. Right outside of Nashville.
We used to have a Friday night singing there.
Okay. So you know of this congregation then?
I know about it, but I don't know if anybody.
Okay. If you hadn't heard, there was, about the time that church was letting out, somebody drove up and shot the first person they saw outside of the church. That person died, and then the shooter went inside and opened fire. I think the preacher and his wife were both shot, several others. The only one that I had heard of that had died was the first person. But, of course, early reports. So let's keep those brethren in our prayers. Burnett Chapel, Church of Christ. In fact, let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, these things that we continue to see around us in the world are no doubt work of our enemy. And he wants to throw us into fear and panic. We pray first of all for your servants down there, those who are just in shock today and hurting, and those who have lost people they love. Pray your blessings on them. And pray that your servants across the world will have courage and realize that this world is not our home. There are those who will be used by the enemy to attack us, and that we should not cower in the face of that. But mostly tonight, we just pray for those who are hurting this evening. And we know there are many, and ask you will tenderly be with them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a prominent, wealthy family. Children in this family wanted to give their father a book for his birthday present, a book that would have family's history in it. And so they commissioned a professional biographer to compose this book. They gave him all the information he needed, very carefully provided him for what he needed to write the book. And they were very careful to warn him about one particular person in the family tree, that particular family's black sheep. It was Uncle George. And Uncle George had been executed in the electric chair for murder. And the biographer assured the children, "I can handle this in a way that you will not be embarrassed at all. Just trust me on this." And when his work was done, here's the passage that described the family's black sheep, Uncle George. It said, "Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock." The power of words. Power of words to do good, and also they have power for bad. They have power to build up, they have power to tear down. But tonight I want us to think most importantly about the Word of God. And hearing the Word of God and what it can accomplish and how it works. We heard some of those words a few minutes ago in our reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And that's just a great chapter, I think, in Scripture. It's a chapter that tells us about how Samuel became one of the great leaders in the history of God's people. You know, Samuel was pretty unique. He was a rarity. He served in multiple ways over his life of service to God. He was a prophet. He was a judge. He was a priest. And you might even have called him a governor at one point. And so he had a lot of roles. And 1 Samuel chapter 3 tells a story of his call to God's service. And so it's a very important chapter in that light. And, you know, this is one of those stories that maybe our children know better than we do, because it's one of those that always comes up in children's Bible studies and Bible curriculum and that kind of thing. Maybe we knew it better when we were children, and sometimes we go beyond stories like that and think maybe we're too grown up to study some of those Old Testament stories. But what a message there is in this important chapter for us. And not just one message. There are a lot of spiritual truths in it. But I want us to just take a few minutes and remind ourselves of the details of the story and then see how the Word of the Lord functions in our lives. Well, that's the angle on it I want us to take tonight. Before we read a few verses from chapter 3, 1 Samuel, remember that Samuel had a very special mother. We get her story first. Her name is Hannah. And chapter 1 of the book of 1 Samuel tells the story of the time that she prayed for the Lord to bless her with a son. She seeks God's blessing of a child and promises, if he will give her a child, that she will dedicate him to God's service. If he will just take away her inability to bear and give her a son, then she will turn him over to the Lord his entire life. And so, in chapter 2 then, we find out that there is a great problem in Israel. And it is a leadership problem. The religious leaders in Israel, especially the priestly family, the family of Eli, is totally corrupt and immoral, his sons in particular. And so their coming doom and punishment is prophesied very clearly in these early chapters. Eli, who's the priest, seems to be a decent man in some ways, but a terrible father. He has allowed his sons, who seem to be total degenerates, Hophni and Phinehas are their names, he has allowed them to just do whatever they want to do without restraint, to rob the people, to destroy the reputation of the priesthood in Israel. It is a big mess. And so God's not pleased, obviously, with this situation. He's been looking and seeking to fix it. And to do that, he's raising up a new leader. He is bringing a new prophet on the scene, and that person's name is Samuel. Samuel is a young man that has grown up, again, in the temple, really the tabernacle. He has been tutored by Eli, the priest. Seems to be sort of a personal servant of Eli. Maybe we might call him an apprentice priest. But really, if you read it closely and consider what's going on, the person that Samuel is serving throughout this is the Lord. It's not so much he's serving Eli, but God is the one who's tutoring Samuel. In fact, speaking directly to Samuel. Samuel is serving an apprenticeship to the Lord. And so notice a couple of verses in this. Chapter 2, verse 21. And the young man Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. I love the way it's stated there. Some translations say grew with the Lord. This one says grew in the presence of the Lord. That's a neat image for a young person. We all ought to be doing that, shouldn't we? Growing in the presence of the Lord. This is how Samuel's early life is described. Then a few verses later in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 26, it says, "Now the young man Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." Now, does that verse sound familiar? It ought to, because something very similar is said about Jesus and his growth process as a young person, Luke chapter 2. And Luke seems to be playing off that thing that was said originally of Samuel, grew in stature and in those ways. And so here's the situation we have. You've got a faltering, failing religious leadership in Israel among God's people. House of Eli is soon to fall. But God is not done with Israel. And he is raising up the next generation of leadership in the form of this young man named Samuel. So let's look at how God calls him into his service. This begins 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It says there, "Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." There was no frequent vision in Israel. Before we look at the rest of this, notice something very important here. What's it say in verse 1 about the word of the Lord in those days? It's rare. The word of the Lord is rare in those days. God is not sending messages, visions, to his people like he did at other times. And the way it's expressed here by the writer is that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Probably because the people he would normally send such messages and communications to are totally corrupt. And so you have this problem. The communication with God has been corrupted. And so that's the beginning of chapter 3. If you look at the end of the chapter, where Mike read a moment ago, notice how things change just in the course of this chapter. Verse 19, 1 Samuel 3, the thought is repeated that Samuel grew. So that's an emphasis of this chapter. But verse 21 says that the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. That's the place where the temple, the tabernacle, was in those days. The Lord appeared again at Shiloh, and he revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. So at the beginning of the chapter, early in Samuel's life, the word of the Lord is rare. By the end of the chapter, here he is revealing himself once again, revealing his word to Samuel. Something has changed over this time. It's a very important change in the history of God's people. And so I think that's important to note as we read here a few verses, that God is appearing to Samuel by the end, and he's giving him his words to pass on to the nation, which they need. The rest of the chapter is going to tell us how that took place. How did this change occur? And I think in that change, how God worked it, we can see what God's word does and accomplishes in the lives of people like Samuel and Israel and in ours. I think there's certainly a parallel for us. So if you look with me for a moment, 1 Samuel 3, we're going to read beginning at verse 2. Just notice this story. Maybe you remember it from old days of Bible study. Maybe it's new to you tonight. I don't know. But the story of the call of this great servant. Verse 2, "At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Then we have that statement again, "Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground." You know, when we teach this story to young people, we tend to focus on the idea that Samuel was this little boy. You know, he's this little, very young boy in the temple who hears God calling him, and he's confused because he thinks it's Eli, and eventually he figures out that it's God calling, it's not Eli. And part of that is true, but the fact is that by this time, Samuel is probably not a little boy. Not a real young child, but a young man, maybe well into his teens at this time. He is a priest apprentice to the old man Eli, but he's much more than that. He is someone that God is preparing for greater things. God is working on Samuel. God is doing something in him. Although the text says Samuel doesn't yet know the Lord. I'd like to know more about exactly what that means. But he says he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't recognize his voice, that kind of thing. But God has been growing him and preparing him. He's going to be somebody who will deliver the word of God to people. He's going to be a prophet. You know, God's messages are going to come through Samuel. But this is all the preparation process here. And we might ask, why did he pick this one? Why Samuel? As opposed to somebody else. And God could have chosen anybody. That's a good question. We might not be able to say definitively what the mind of God is on that. But one thing we can certainly say about Samuel that's important, and I want to emphasize this, he was available. Samuel was certainly available. And, you know, some people aren't available for God to use. We might ask, why do some people, God use some and doesn't use others? Some aren't available to him. Samuel is at least available. His mother, think about this. His mother from birth made him available to God. Now that cuts against modern views of parenting totally. Right? I mean, isn't it the popular thing today to say, I'm going to let my child make his own choice? What did Hannah do? Hannah, before he was born, said, God, if you will bless me with a child, I will turn him over to your service for the rest of his life. She dedicated him to the service of God. His mother, from birth, made him available to God. And some might look at that and say, what a shame Hannah didn't let her make his own choice. I think Eli probably let Hophni and Phinehas make their own choices. Didn't restrain them in their sin, in their thievery, in their immorality. His house falls as a result of that. Scripture holds Hannah up as a great example of a godly mother because she dedicated her child in this way. She made her son available to God. Of course, later he had to choose and follow through, but it started well for him. I think I know some parents, have known some parents through the years who tried Eli's way early on, and today they regret it greatly. And it's a heartbreaking thing. So here you have Samuel. He's in God's house. He's in the temple. He's available. He's available to God. He's serving the cause of spiritual things. You know, he's close to God, even though he still has a lot to learn about God. But he's there. He's available. A lot of people never hear the call of God in their lives because they don't spend much time close to God. They don't spend much time around spiritual things. Not that they're not busy. Their life is full and they're busy, but they're not available in this way. Samuel is available. God can use him first because he's available. And so God calls him because he's available. Takes him a while to figure it out. He needs the help of Eli some, but soon he realizes who's calling and he responds. And that, again, is what we would expect from a person who is available. The word of the Lord comes to Samuel. Let's notice what happens when it comes and what it still does today when God's word comes. And I want to see these two things as application for us tonight in our lesson. What happened when God's word came to Samuel, and what happens when it comes to us? Note first that the word of the Lord informed. It informed. It told Samuel some things he needed to know. It revealed the plan of God and the will of God. This was something that Samuel had to hear. He had to find out about, although he didn't relish the thought of telling Eli that God's about to depose you and your sons, your house is going to fall, new leadership is coming. He was not eager as a young man to tell the old man Eli. This is what God's plan was, but he had to hear this. God informed him by his word. It was big news in that day. And in fact, did you notice the way it described how people were going to hear this news? God says, I'm about to do a thing in Israel that will cause everybody's ears to tingle. their ears will ring when they hear it. And it's the news that the priest and his sons are going away, and God is bringing something new. Samuel needed to hear that. Eli needed to hear it. Israel needed to hear it. God's word informs. It gives us information we need. It still does that today, of course. God's word still informs. It may be revealed to us in a different way. You know, we have this book that we call the Word of God. We have a divinely inspired book that is sufficient for us and for what we need to know. It's been faithfully transmitted to us, inspired by God's Spirit. Now, we have the written Word of God. It informs us. It teaches us things we need to know over the course of our life. Scripture says of itself that it teaches us all things that we need to know that have to do with life and godliness. And so it is our source of spiritual information, learning, instruction. When we come together in moments like these and in Bible classes and so forth, or when we sit down in our own quiet time with the Word of God, those are times where God can speak to us through His Word. And my question tonight for us is, are we as open to it and as interested in it as Samuel was? Are we available to the Word of God? That's a question of application, personal application. Are we available like he was? So God's Word informs, but it's not all it does. The Word of God also invited. Notice what happens here. It's not as if all Samuel needed was to download some facts and figures about things. He just needed pure information. As true as the information was that he got, that was far from all that God had in mind on this occasion in calling him. God included an invitation to Samuel. I don't mean the kind of invitation that we'll have later, you know, where we stand and sing. I mean that God invited, he called Samuel into an entirely new level of life and service to the Lord. Through his word, he invited and called Samuel to a new level of service. And so God's word, when it's properly heard, when it's properly understood, always does that. It always invites us to the next level in our life with God. And it's amazing its diversity, its ability to do so to people at all different places in their life. At the same time, you know. There are people here tonight who still need to obey the gospel and start their walk with Christ. There are people that have, 60, 70 years ago did that. And God's word can speak to both and everybody in between. And when it does, it not only informs us, but it calls us to the next level. Sometimes by convicting us of things we're doing wrong, sometimes of informing us about new things we need to do. Question is, are we open to it? Are we available? Now Samuel, he had been living in the temple. He had been serving there. Samuel had been living a true religious life in the temple of God, but God calls him to something greater than that, beyond even that. God invites him to be a prophet, a messenger, and someone through whom the word of the Lord would be regularly delivered to the people of God. Priests were really supposed to do that in Israel, and that's one of the things they failed so miserably at. You ask yourself, why did Israel get in such a mess? Their priests failed. They sort of hid away in the temple. They didn't teach the word of God like they were supposed to. God sent prophets, had to send prophets to do it. And yet Samuel does a little bit of both. And he's available and open to that. I suggest you ask yourself today, am I available? You know, we're not assembling here in this building each week simply to receive information, are we? Just to get information that we've perhaps heard before, if we've been around long enough. Now, the information is important. It's vital. Even if it's the Word of God, it's really the stuff of life, but that's only half of what God wants us to get when we come before His Word. He also wants to invite us. He wants to call us to the next level of service, whatever that is in our life, to step up to something He has in mind for us. In our early morning class this morning, we talked about that verse in Ephesians chapter 2. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to do good works. God has things in mind for us to do. How do we know that if we're not hearing His word, if we're not hearing the invitation to do those things? He wants to call us to the next level. He wants to call us out of our comfort zones, if that's what's necessary, if we're too comfortable. He wants to correct us if we've strayed, wants to save us if we've never obeyed. He wants to rescue us if we've fallen away. Those are all invitations, calls of God, hearing the call of God. So God calls us through His Word. Today, the question is, are we available? You know, when Samuel was young, he needed help in hearing the call of God. Eli supplied that. And, you know, we could say a lot of bad things about Eli. But this may be the greatest thing he did, was to help Samuel hear God's voice. And discern that it was God calling. Maybe one of the things that we can do, if we're thinking about a specific application tonight, is help someone else hear God's call, hear God's voice, who's struggling to hear it, who is confused, because we have more experience with it. Maybe we can help somebody else listen to the word of God. What a blessing you could be in somebody's life by doing that. Thank you for listening this evening. This great old story. I think it's a chapter full of spiritual riches. And we've just addressed one part of it this evening. I encourage you to go back and read it again and think through it and see what you might find there. As we conclude, we offer the invitation of Jesus Christ tonight. There might be folks here who need to make some kind of public response, maybe asking for the prayers of the church. Maybe there's that person here tonight who's ready to step forward and confess Christ and be baptized into Christ. We would celebrate seeing that and would love to help you with your obedience. But there may be prayers that you want us to offer on your behalf. We'd be happy to do that as well. If there's some way we can serve you tonight before we go, the invitation is yours, the lesson is yours. While together we stand and sing, won't you come?